Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this week we have Monica with us. So, Monica, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. We've already had some really good conversation and a lot of fun this morning. So I'm excited to share my story with your audience and kind of teach them what I've learned. So my name is Monica Connolly, and I am a certified holistic health and wellness coach. I am a trauma coach. I am a master life coach. But more importantly, I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother, and a wife. My family really is my priority. And that's really where I learned after going through some hardship, learned that I had given everything to my family. So I have two medically challenged kids, and my husband suffered a traumatic brain injury, and my newborn son passed away. And I had never grown up learning how to deal with grief or how to deal with stress. The go-to for me was staying incredibly busy, serving others, and eating. I did that for years, not realizing that it was a trauma response and not realizing the damage that I was causing to myself. So ultimately, I ended up really losing myself. I lost my identity. I lost my voice. I know now, looking back, that the jobs that I took, I worked high stress healthcare. I worked in a pediatric heart clinic where we had some of the sickest patients in the country. And I could advocate for them, but if you asked me what I wanted for dinner that night, I couldn't tell you because I had completely lost my voice. Went through several years going through this cycle to the point where one day my doctor looked me in the eyes and he said, if you don't make really drastic changes, you are going to die and it will be very soon. And that was a wake-up call for me. So I didn't know where to go from there. I didn't know what to do. So I actually had a friend who had reached out, that a woman that I had met through a company that we were both involved with. She was hosting a really small intimate event, and she said, why don't you come? And I had never done anything like that. I did not talk in front of people. I had horrible anxiety about speaking in front of people. I had never gone to a personal development event. I didn't even know what personal development was at the time. And she kept asking and asking, and the event was close. It was within driving distance. So I was like, okay, I'll go ahead and go. And I really learned at that event. I felt seen and I felt heard and I felt hope for the first time in a long time. And I realized that I wasn't alone, that other people had gone through similar experiences and that they could help show me how to get through this and how to regain my voice and how to regain my identity. So I started down a journey, and this started just over 2 years ago. So I started down a journey. I couldn't trust myself. I had broken so many promises to myself. I couldn't trust anything that I promised myself. So I made one commitment, and that was to walk on a treadmill and listen to a podcast. And I couldn't stop walking on the treadmill till the podcast was over. So I started doing that every day, and that was my one consistent thing. And I started regaining trust in myself by doing that. I got my certification in holistic health and wellness, and I did it for me because I knew that I had to be able to heal my body. I had been going to doctors and I was getting sicker and sicker. I decided I would take control of my own health and take that into my hands, and I would educate myself and learn about my body and about my nutritional needs. And so I started walking and I started making changes to my diet, and I stayed in community and I had people hold me accountable. So in the last 2 years, I lost 150 pounds. And more importantly, I regained my voice and I learned to trust myself again. And I learned to recognize the old habits that I had that were keeping me in this vicious cycle of eating and then shame and staying busy, because if you stay busy, then you don't have to feel and you don't have to process anything. And so, learning how to process trauma, and trauma can look very different for people. Somebody could have an experience where they're almost in a car accident, and that could be a very traumatic event for them. Somebody could witness something, a violent act, and that could be what causes trauma for them. So everybody is different, and I like to emphasize that one person's trauma is never worse than someone else's. Everybody's body reacts differently. Everybody's brain is different, and everybody is going to react to situations differently. And you can have trauma that happened to you that it may take you 5 years to realize that's what caused all of these issues, and you're able to track, track it back to that event. And you may go, but that really wasn't that big of a deal, but it was. It really was for your body. It was. And so that's something in my coaching programs that we talk about is like, don't ever allow yourself to be in a position where you feel shamed because you're saying this caused me trauma. And, take ownership of that and don't let someone really be like, well, no, that couldn't have caused a trauma. That wouldn't cause me trauma. It could cause trauma for someone, and don't let someone take that away from you. It's your story. You get to write your story, but you also get to write how you take that story forward and how you use that story.
First of all, I am celebrating with you the release of 150 pounds. Like, that is amazing. And I resonate with that heavily because I was a person that did not recognize that I had a lot of trauma, even though I had been through a lot. Like, I would classify what I had been through as traumatic,
Right.
but I didn't, I didn't. Oh, excuse me. I didn't identify that I was traumatized.
Right.
And what was a big thing for me was becoming aware of trauma responses. For me, eating was a big one. Drinking was a big one. At my heaviest, I was almost 400 pounds. So I understand that journey of having to rewrite narratives so that I could respect my body a bit more. But I think one of the things that I appreciate in the way that you told your story was just that, right? Like anything could traumatize us. And a lot of people don't necessarily identify with trauma. So then they don't identify with ending up in survival mode as a result. As a trauma-informed coach, what are some of the common trauma responses that you see?
Like we talked about, eating is a big one. So many people will find that they, when they actually sit down and they look at their eating habits and they're consciously aware of, what when they're eating and what they're eating, most of the time they will, people who are in a trauma response will be able to identify that, oh, I'm eating when I'm stressed. I'm eating when I'm sad. I'm eating when I'm happy. Because that is how they have, that's how their body has learned to cope. So, eating is a big one. Busyness, constantly going, constantly having to be doing something, not being able to just sit and be still. And I don't mean be sit, like sit with the TV on or sit with a radio, like actually sitting in a room by yourself where it's quiet. And for people in a trauma response, that is really hard. Their brain is going 100 miles an hour and they feel like they constantly have to be moving. So those are two big ones that I see.
Yeah, busyness. Oh my gosh, that is definitely one that I've seen. And one that I think is also conditioned heavily. Like,
Oh, absolutely.
why would you be still? Why are
Right?
you still? Why are you taking a moment if there are things that need to be done? And particularly in my community, I remember growing up and like just wanting to take a break, and it was like, no, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. Like, you can't stop until things are done. And then I took that into school. I took that into my career. I took that everywhere where I felt like I had to prove myself, because my trauma manifested in a way that I always felt like I had something to prove to someone. So I ended up burning out completely. And I thought, I was one of those people that thought burnout was just a buzzword, right? Until I hit that wall and I couldn't get out of bed for months. And then there was this reconciliation. Oh, well, this is what burnout is. This is also a trauma response for me, like not being able to take a few minutes just for myself, and then having to rewrite all of what I've known almost my entire life just so that I wasn't showing up in this trauma response. And interesting enough, this wasn't my trauma response. This was my granny's that was passed on by generations, which was like this became my conditioning, right? Like, you can't give someone something to say. Like, if you have time to do things, you need to be doing them.
Absolutely. And that perfectionism, always having to please everybody, that people pleasing and feeling like everything has to be perfect, that's definitely a big trauma response.
Absolutely. That in itself, I think, is a whole nother conversation, because we definitely take on these personas as a result of the trauma that we've experienced. You mentioned people pleasing, overachieving, the fixer. I mean, there are quite a few that happen as a response to our trauma that we often don't see as trauma responses. So we show up, we give it so much energy, and then we have to spend often years trying to rewrite it. I think one of the hardest trauma responses for me to rewrite was people pleasing, because it
That was a big one
probably
for me.
was one of my first trauma responses. I can actually pinpoint all the way back to when I was 7, when it started for me. So essentially, that's d decades of rewriting without recognizing that it is a trauma response.
Something I love that you said though too was that like we as a society, this is really pushed. It's you stay busy and you don't take time for yourself. And that was huge for me to recognize that there was no self-care going on. And people will say, well, self-care is expensive and it's selfish. And why are you taking time for that when you, it means that you're not spending that time with your kids? But you disappear when you forget to take care of yourself. You lose your voice when you forget to take care of yourself. And you really get where you don't have an identity. I mean, I was to the point where I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. I didn't know who I was. I didn't recognize my own reflection in the mirror. And I really had to break from that societal, norm of no, you can't take time for yourself, and really shift that narrative in my family. And it's when you get to the point where you start saying, no, I'm going to start setting these boundaries and I'm going to start doing these things for myself, there's going to be resistance to that because you have put yourself in a position of always being the yes person. And everybody knows, well, I can go to this person and they're going to do it. They're going to move heaven and earth to make sure it happens. And you start saying no, and you start setting those boundaries, and you start taking care of yourself and taking that time for yourself. And there's going to be resistance, but you will find that it really can change your whole outlook. You will become less exhausted. You will just, in general, feel better. You will have more energy. You will feel better. You will be able to handle when there is stress. You're going to be able to handle that better because you've allowed your body rest. So really changing that societal thinking that taking that time for yourself is a bad thing.
Absolutely. Self-care is absolutely required. But I want to go back to that part about the lost identity, right? Like, one of the things that I recognize working with people who are dealing with trauma is that piece that we all have in common. And when I talk about accident survival mode, I say it happens in three stages. First is self-awareness, the second is reprogramming, and then the third is reinvention. As someone who has been highly traumatized over my life, accessing certain situations, like for instance, I'm a survivor of teenage domestic abuse. Coming out of that environment, I had absolutely no idea who I was. Because up until that point, my identity had been tied. I had tied my identity to my interpersonal relationships. So if I ever described myself to someone, I would say, I am so and so's child, or I am so and so's girlfriend or wife. My identity at that stage had never been developed enough where it was autonomous of the events or the people that I was around. And now I'm left, I am now alone. But who am I? And I had no clue. I think one of the things that keeps us in survival mode is that loss of identity. And a lot of us are unaware of how much power and control we actually have, that we can define. Listen, if you want to be an astronaut, honey, be an astronaut. If you want to be a deep diver, searching for gold at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, you have every right to be there. And I'm using extremes because I want people to recognize they have so much control over who they are and who they can become. But we often don't believe that, or we don't have the awareness of that. And I think the true freedom in trauma recovery is being able to sit back and openly, honestly, and unapologetically define who you want to become.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was it, when you don't know what your identity is, it's really hard. You have to, for me, I got in community and I started, what do I like to do? And I started going back to when I was a child. What did I like to do as a child? And what were some of those things that still brought me joy? And moving forward with some of those things. But learning new things too, and really finding in my identity, searching for my identity, I found my purpose. And so, if 2 years ago, if you had asked me, well, will you, what if you're going to speak on podcasts? And what if you're going to write books? And what if you're going to talk on stages? I would have been like, oh no, that is not me. I don't do those things, because I didn't have the faith in myself that I could do those. I didn't think I was capable of it. But I didn't know what I thought about anything. I had no opinions about anything, but I was terrified of, back to the people pleasing, speaking in front of people and saying something that would upset someone. And so I rarely, I had lost my opinion about everything because I didn't want to say something that would offend someone or that would cause a confrontation or would hurt someone's feelings. And now I know that was an additional trauma response that I had to learn who I was and what I was capable of. And I had completely lost the ability to dream. If you had asked me, what do you want your career to look like in 5 years? I couldn't tell you that because I couldn't think that far. I couldn't think past today, that if I got through today, I was doing good, if I had a plan for today. And really allowing myself to dream and to dream big. And it's something like, as you're going through it, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's something that's going, it took a lot of conditioning and a lot of years to cause the trauma and to cause the trauma responses. And you're going to have to put in that time to move yourself out of that as well.
Absolutely. And a huge part of trauma recovery, in my opinion, is taking us back to our childhood, right? Taking us back to that point before we were stripped of everything. And listeners, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Like, I think a lot of societal expectations strips us of who we are at the core. I talk a lot about the conveyor belt of success that we are fed. You have to have good grades so that you can get a good job, or so good grades so you can go to a good college so you can get a good job, and then you work that job for 40 years and then you retire to then live life. That is a conveyor belt of success, and part of that conditioning that keeps us on that conveyor belt is the loss of our imagination. And a huge part of this recovery is, first of all, getting back to who we are, like that identifying self, being able to trust ourselves again, being able to dream and dream big, as you mentioned, Monica, because a lot of that is stripped from us. This old trauma, it's stripped from us because we are conditioned to be great employees, not great humans. And
In a
it's a
box.
huge difference, right? The last thing that I really want to touch on, which I think is very important, is the point at which you learn to trust yourself again. Most people who have undergone intense trauma don't trust themselves. And the reason for that, and it doesn't even have to be intense, any kind of trauma, the trust in ourselves and our ability to make decisions that are correct, quote unquote correct, because there are no correct decisions. It's how you manage the situations you're in. Is that just that? Every bad, quote unquote bad decision that we make diminishes our ability to trust ourselves. So
Yeah.
we then get to a point where we are just completely untrusting. And it's like, oh, I can't make this decision because I have a history of making really bad decisions, which put me in really bad circumstances. So I don't know what to do here. That is another very key point in our recovery, being able to get back to a point where we first accept that any decision that we made with the information that we had at the time. And we're
Yeah.
often viewing this from a perspective of we already have more information. So why didn't we make a better decision? No, we didn't have the information at that time. So we had to give
Exactly.
ourselves some grace that we moved in the best way possible with the information that we had at the time, which then allows us to begin to trust ourselves a bit more because we obviously get to a point where it's like our decision making.
Yeah, definitely. And that was huge for me, was I didn't trust any decisions that I made. And I think what you said is so important, that you make the decisions at that time. Each day you make those decisions, and it's based on the information you have right at that moment and how you think the best way to move through that is going to be. And you make that decision based on that. And you really have to go back and say, that's okay. I made this decision and I may not have liked the outcome of it, but what can I gain from that now? What knowledge can I take from that? And I know now I would make a different decision, but what did I learn from that? And what path did that put me on that maybe I want to shift off of? And what decisions can I make to shift off of that? And for me, like, it really was almost overnight. I went from, and I'm not saying like overnight, like it was, I'm 2 years into trauma coaching at this point of, I am trauma informed. I do trauma coaching. I have a trauma coach. I have lots of coaches because I have years of things that I'm working through and trying to relearn. But I remember the day that I woke up and I had a big financial decision to make. And before, it would have been, I would have pondered it and procrastinated about it and asked other people's opinions about what I should do. And that day, I woke up and I just made the decision and I didn't question it. I was like, I know that this is the right decision. And it was like a switch went off at that point where I really was like, okay, I made this decision and this feels really good that I made a decision and I'm not questioning it. And that's what started me down the path of being able to trust the decisions that I was making and start to regain that trust with myself.
And it's so powerful when you are someone who has sought validation for a very long time in your decision making. I was definitely at that point. I couldn't do anything without running it by someone else, right? And part of me thought it was like, oh, well, maybe I'm doing better by doing this. But I, again, there was no reconciliation of how much control of my life I was giving away. And I think once we are able to take radical ownership of our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, that's when things truly do start shifting for us.
And that ownership is so important. You taking ownership, and take ownership of the good, the bad, the ugly, take ownership of everything, and know that everybody makes decisions in life that they can look back and go, oh, I wish I had done that differently. I have a friend, and he always tells me, I don't ever want to hear that. I don't want to hear, oh, I should have done this. He's like, don't should have yourself. It's a form of shame, and shame is a very low vibration, and it brings you down into a really low state. It's just a couple vibrations above death. So that's kind of scary that when you are sitting in shame, you are that low. And he's like, going back to what you said, you made the decision based on the information you had in front of you and the best judgment you had at that time. Don't question the decision now. Now look forward and say, okay, here's where I'm at now. What decisions can I make now to continue to bring me into the life that I want and the life that I am here and my purpose? How can I make those decisions now?
And I mean, if you have to look back, listeners, look back with an analytical mind to assess the lessons learned that help edify you
With
and bring you to this state.
compassion.
Yes, compassion
Yes,
and grace.
compassion for
So much
yourself,
so. Yeah.
grace for yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely. Monica, I have really enjoyed this conversation.
Me
So
too.
before we wrap it up, tell us how we can connect with you, and a little bit more about how you work with clients.
Yeah, so I can be reached on Facebook under Monica Connolly. My website is monicaconnollycoaching.com. My email is monica@monicaconnollycoaching.com. Those are the easiest ways to reach out to me. How do I work with clients? I have one-on-one coaching. I have group coaching, lots of different programs that I run with clients. Do I have master classes that those are always free? So those are available once a month where I talk about different topics, everything from trauma coaching to health to financial wellness, because that plays a huge part in people have trauma responses related to money. So it's a wide range, but I try to offer one free master class every month. There's a wealth of information on my Facebook page too. I share a ton of information there.
Okay, well, listeners, all of that information will be in the show notes. Have a look. Make sure you connect with Monica. So before we go, Monica, one last takeaway for the listeners.
I think the thing that was so important for me was that I encourage everyone to do is take that first step. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Take bold, imperfect action and do it scared. It doesn't have to be perfect. Know that you are here for a purpose and find that purpose and really put everything into it. Jump in feet first and do it bold and do it scared. And remember that you were always made for so much more.
I love that. Listeners, you are made for so much more. Be bold in your decisions to edify yourself and change your world. This is all about being able to seek radical ownership. Thank you, Monica, for your time and your story. And listeners, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. And as always, I want to remind you, you were not built to break. But you damn sure were not built to just survive, disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.